You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning. It is Thursday, October 22nd. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. Today on the College Football Daily, we're going to chat with Hank South of Bama Online, Alabama recruiting expert for 24/7 Sports, about how Mac Jones ended up in Tuscaloosa a few years ago as part of Tua Tagovailoa's 2017 recruiting class, and why Mac Jones decided to stick around all the way to the 2020 season without transferring and jumping ship to an easy opportunity when Bama kept bringing in its quarterback of the future. And now Mac Jones is lighting the world on fire. So we're going to get to that interview in probably 60 seconds, 90 seconds. Before then, though, two headlines to go through. Remember when LSU beat Clemson to win the national title in January, which feels like 9 Januaries ago. But just this past January, and Odell Beckham handed out cash, and LSU said, no, that was counterfeit monopoly money. And no, it was real cash. And because of it, LSU has banned the star receiver, former LSU star receiver, current NFL star receiver, for 2 years now, after the school's compliance office began and concluded an investigation, and as part of a broader effort by LSU to self-impose a few penalties to avoid worse NCAA penalties in the next few years or months in response to alleged rules violations. That's according to Sports Illustrated. In addition to the Odell Beckham ban for 2 years from the LSU premises and the facilities, the Tigers are also voluntarily reducing their scholarship count by 8 over the next 2 seasons. Substantial. And also docking itself some recruiting time. Of course, LSU basketball, if you pay attention to that, is already in the NCAA's crosshairs. LSU football, potentially as well, with a violations case going through the NCAA's new, independent accountability resolution process. So independent accountability is the big word there. LSU is trying to be independently accountable. We'll see if 8 scholarships in 2 years and no Odell in Baton Rouge is enough to keep the NCAA at bay. And then over in Austin, I told y'all a few weeks ago to keep an eye on this Eyes of Texas drama, the school's alma mater song, and how players are not wanting to participate in it. And I know there's some Eyes of Texas fatigue out there, and it's gotten grossly political and dividing, you know, Texas, the coaches and the players and administration and boosters and fans and everybody. But it's a big deal because the worse this gets, the worse it looks for Tom Herman and his boss, Chris Del Conte, the athletic director. And it got a pretty bad look on Wednesday when the Texas band has announced it won't even be participating. It won't be there on Saturday when the Longhorns play Baylor because of its own Eyes of Texas controversy within the band. There are enough band members who don't want to play the Eyes of Texas that the band cannot field the enough instruments to properly service the football team on Saturday. It's supposed to be just a one-game blip. We'll see. The Texas Longhorn players have been encouraged this week by Tom Herman to stand up for the Eyes of Texas, which they listed months ago over the summer as something on their We Will Not Do list unless we see change list, because the song has purported racial undertones in its beginning, like the very beginning of this of the song when it was conceived. I mean, it's become just a huge topic in Austin and something that Longhorn fans are wielding to try to prove that, you know, Tom Herman's not the right guy and that this program, his football team, is not on the same page. And now the band joins the fold. So if any Texas players are going to participate in the Eyes of Texas following Saturday's game against Baylor, which is the customary school tradition, they will be doing it to the tune of the school's sound system. So keep an eye on that. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. So anyway, Hank South talking to Mac Jones. Let's go. Hank, we're talking to Mac Jones today. You ready?
I am. I'm always ready to talk Alabama recruiting.
All right. So like Mac Jones, I guess I owe him an apology because I spent the entire offseason thinking that Bryce Young would be the guy. And it's Mac, and maybe it gets to be Mac because there wasn't really spring practice and fall camp was weird and Mac's experience won out, but he's balling. He's number one in yards per attempt in the country. He's number two in yards per game. He's number two in completion percentage. I just think it's so cool that this guy is into the Heisman mix with the likes of Trevor Lawrence as a former three-star recruit. Like, Alabama has so much talent. They have 12 former five-stars on their roster. Mac's not one of them. They have 58 former four-stars. He's not one of them. He's just one of 13 former three-star prospects. And you covered him as a recruit. And not only is he this interesting prospect who always believed in himself, but he was part of a class that included Tua Tagovailoa, and he still decided to go to Alabama. So, Hank, walk us through the process of it's back in 2016. It's the summertime. Bama lost Jake Fromm. Bama gets Tua. And then they still recruited Mac Jones?
Yeah, it surprised a lot of people, I think, back at the time. Because it's interesting because so Jake Fromm flips to Georgia and Bama goes out, offers Tua, I think like 5 days later. They start pressing for him. Tua takes a visit in April, commits in May. But in that period of time, in April, they offered Mac Jones, who was committed to Kentucky at the time. And of course, you know, message boards is like, oh, what does this mean for Tua? Because at that point, you know, Tua was trending to Alabama. I think he had already visited Alabama with his family out from Hawaii. And, you know, people obviously take that as something's happened with Tua. Bama might not be getting him. Maybe he's going to USC. Who knows? But lo and behold, Tua commits to Alabama on May 2nd. And Bama didn't stop recruiting Mac Jones after that. I think a lot of media thought they probably would. It was just going to be a one quarterback class. But Bama kept kind of keeping their foot on the gas with Mac Jones. And then about a month later, and this, he was committed to Kentucky at this point in his recruitment. And about a month later, Mac Jones goes out to Tuscaloosa to camp. He has the offer, but obviously, you know, with Alabama to get a committable offer, in most cases, you have to work out in front of the staff. And he just put on a show at Alabama's camp in front of then offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban. And he kind of just got the go-ahead, the green light. And he flipped to Alabama, I think, at that camp, if not, you know, the day after. And kind of the rest is history as far as, you know, sticking in that class. And that, you know, that was always the question to him because that was pretty much during the summer of Tua. You know, we saw Tua light up Elite 11. Then he went up to the opening finals in Oregon, did the same thing there, won the MVP. And so everyone was talking about Tua, but Mac Jones was that second quarterback in the class. And I think he kind of liked it, to be honest, from talking to him at the time and throughout the remainder of that cycle.
Yeah, I'm reading your quotes or the quotes Mac told you back in 2016. And it's so funny to go back and read this. And you bubbled it up last year when he stepped in for Tua after the injury. His quote to you, this was back when he committed. A lot of these kids want guaranteed playing time, but really I just needed the opportunity to compete. I've waited 3 years before I could start in high school. So I know if I have to wait, I'll be fine with it. Honestly, it would be better if I waited so I could learn the system and get used to it. I'm going in there as the second quarterback in the class, and whatever happens, happens, unquote. That's just so poetic almost because then he waits 3 years in college to be the guy too.
Yeah, and that's kind of just speaks to his mentality with this whole thing. You know, he's never, you know, in this age of you know, if you're not starting as a freshman, you know, you're hitting the, this was pre-transfer portal, obviously, but, you know, it's such a thing now with college athletes, especially, you know, higher profile guys. That, you know, if they don't get a chance, you know, in their first year, if not the second, you know, they're going to start looking elsewhere. But, you know, Mac Jones stuck with it. And you know, keep in mind, this is when we're talking the summer of 2016. This is before we even knew Jalen Hurts. We're talking about Jalen Hurts as the you know, fourth string quarterback right now behind Blake Barnett, Cooper Bateman, and David Cornwell before that USC game. So, you know, he's committing in a class with all those quarterbacks on the roster behind Tua. So, you know, it just kind of speaks to his competitive mentality and kind of just how he carries himself.
Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting. I forgot about, like, there was that four quarterback battle and Jalen Hurts was like number four at one point and came up and balled against USC. So Mac Jones at one point was, if you're mapping out the program scholarship quarterbacks, like he was never any better than like your backup plan, right? Like when he commits, he's I mean, even when he commits in the summer of 2016, like, you know that once your quarterback battle is over, you're going to lose a few guys. You know, you lose Cornwell, you lose Bateman, you're probably going to lose Barnett if he doesn't win the job. But Mac Jones, even in that Tua class, like, this guy, Hank, do you think he at any point was ever just like the way I might be, where it's like, look, I'm going to go play football at Alabama. I'm going to hold a clipboard. If I play, I play great, but I kind of just want to go play football for Alabama and not really worry about the depth chart. Am I wrong there?
No, I mean, I guess maybe he's just like a person of faith. I don't know. Maybe he just thought that like he was going to have eventually get his shot, you know, especially, you know, if you go with the mentality of, you know, I have 5 years of eligibility, you know, probably chances are I'm eventually going to get a shot to at least be in a very serious discussion as the starter. And he certainly did, of course, last year. Unfortunately, it was because of Tua going down with the injuries. But, you know, I think a lot of these kids, you know, they want early playing time, and Bama doesn't really sell that. And I think Mac Jones is just one of those people that just, I think he kind of feeds off that. I think he likes that competition. And like, it goes back to that quote at Bulls High School where he was in Jacksonville, which I believe is, you know, a pretty well-known powerhouse program in the state of Florida. You know, he waited 3 years to get his turn. And obviously that worked out well for him with all these offers, and certainly ending up at Alabama. And so, you know, I think he just stuck with it. You know, he stuck with the process, Nick Saban's process. And it's really paying off for him at this point in 2020.
Was Alabama ever in danger of losing Mac Jones to a flip? Because they flipped him from Kentucky. He's part of a 2 QB class. And like, once you commit to Alabama, you kind of rise a little bit in pedigree. I'm not talking about the recruiting rankings, but it's like, oh, like, this kid's good enough to go to Alabama. Saban wanted him. Lane Kiffin wanted him. Like, I might come after him now. I would imagine it's easy to get in his ear like, hey, look, Tua's a five-star. Come play with us. You were saying that Lane Kiffin... What a weird year, man. Like, this is also the year that Lane Kiffin gets fired from a job he already quit 8 days before the national title game and like goes to FAU. But did Lane make a run at Mac too?
Yeah, it was interesting. And, you know, and kind of back to that whole two quarterback class thing, I feel like this is, you know, maybe that it's kind of like the last era of time where, I mean, like, how many two quarterback classes can you think of? I mean, as far as like higher tier guys, like Mac Jones was an Elite 11 kid. It's not, I mean, he was a composite three-star, but you know, he had a pretty, you know, a nice offer list. He had a lot of schools after him. He was very highly respected on the recruiting circuit. And it's just kind of hard. You don't really see that much anymore. Like USC right now has Miller Moss and Jake Garcia, but beyond that, like there's really not that many two quarterback classes anymore. But you know, that's something other teams use to their, you know, to negative recruit. And certainly after that summer when Tua really blew up and then had a fantastic senior season and got his fifth star, you know, schools were coming after him. I know, you know, Lane Kiffin gets that job at FAU. He offered Mac Jones immediately. I was looking back at one of my old stories when I was talking with Mac over DM, and he said, Lane Kiffin said, yeah, man, FAU has nicer weather. You should come down. And so, you know, he was already selling that Florida appeal, but you know, FAU was in it. I mean, I don't think Mac Jones was ever considering FAU really to flip, but I do think he was talking, you know, I think he was interested in other schools. You know, Missouri offered him, I think, a little bit later. Oklahoma State came in December of 2016 to kind of make a last pitch at him. But, you know, he was pretty set on Alabama, and he kind of had a funny enrollment. It was that year where Bama had, I think, like 12 early enrollees in January. And this is all pre-early signing period. And then they had Mac and Brian Robinson, and I think one other guy came in February. So he was kind of in that January limbo period before signing day where, you know, was he going to take some visits? Was he going to look elsewhere? But he stuck with it, and you know, he looks like a genius for doing that now.
So Tua was kind of on. Was he on flip alert at all, Hank?
I don't think so. You know, I think they were very set on Alabama. You know, that was back. You know, it's like so crazy. It feels like such a long time ago with everything that's changed since. But Willie Taggart got the Oregon job. I know we were at the All American Bowl. And remember, this is early signing, pre-early signing period. So like, all you know about guys as far as, you know, are they set with that school is, are they going to go enroll there right after they get done with the All-American Bowl a few days later? They hadn't signed anything. You know, that was the same time as Najee Watch and all that stuff. But I think, you know, I think he liked Oregon. That was always a school, obviously, with the Marcus Mariota connection. USC was obviously one of his favorites. But I think he was pretty set on Bama. I think LSU made a run at Tua as well in December of 2016, but he was pretty firm. The big flip candidate that cycle was obviously was Najee Harris.
The College Football Daily will be right back.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
You've had quite the ride on the Alabama recruiting beat as far as quarterbacks go. That whole 2017 class, like, it's been so well documented, the dominoes of Jake Fromm, and then you go get Tua, you flip Mac Jones, whatever. Like, what came after that? 2018 was that the year Bama pretty much struck out, Hank? Like, they Brock Purdy maybe late, or like, did they try to go after somebody else and they ended up with Lane Hatcher, who's now at Arkansas State? Was that was 2018, right?
Yeah, that was 2018. So you're coming off the year you have Tua and Mac. So obviously, you know, the goal of signing at least, you know, one quarterback. Nick Saban says, you know, he wants to sign a quarterback in every class, at least one quarterback. And 2018 was a really weird year. You know, there was I'm trying to think of all the names that were involved, but
like Emory, yeah, Jones, maybe.
Yeah, or? Emory Jones was in the mix. He was trending to Alabama at one time. You know, I think he was committed to Ohio State as well, yep, before he ended up at Florida. His name is escaping me, but he was committed to Utah from California. I can't even think of his
Jack
name
Tuttle?
Right now. Jack Tuttle. He was in the mix. And then, yeah, obviously that kind of January period where, they made a run at Brock Purdy, the Princeton quarterback, commit, who I think stuck with Princeton. I think his name was like Braden White or something. But then a few weeks later after signing day, nobody signs with Alabama at quarterback. They just casually land a commitment from Gardner Minshew, who knows he's coming in to be the backup to Jalen Hurts and Tua. This is post, you know, second and 26. So that quarterback battle was about to ensue throughout the spring and summer. But, you know, he commits to Bama as a graduate transfer from East Carolina, kind of with the intent of being to learn how to be a coach under Nick Saban. That's kind of what he wanted to go into. And so Bama gets a commitment from him, and obviously it's just a commitment. It's not like anything binding. And then we see him flip to Washington State. The rest is history. He's now the starting quarterback for the Jaguars. So looks like he made a good choice there. But like you said, Bama ends up adding Lane Hatcher, who is now leading Arkansas State and doing so pretty successfully for 2018. And then, you know, we could talk about 2019 and 2020 for probably a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting about Bryce Young, who they flipped from USC. Like, the trends here is flipping, and it's really never over until it actually is signed on the dotted line. Bryce Young is, like, I don't want to get you in trouble here. He probably thought he'd be playing a lot more this fall. I think he's fine with it. Like, I think they understand the situation. The good news for him, though, Hank, is Mac Jones is playing so well that I think he's going to start getting mocked here in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft. Like, that's like, Mac Jones isn't just a guy. And I think a lot of us fell victim to thinking he would be, but he looks really, really good. And he looks like he might be one and done as a starter.
Yeah. And you know, Bryce Young, obviously, yeah, everyone wants to play, but they didn't blindly come into this. We obviously got that sample size from Mac where, you know, he played, he had, you know, you can say what you want about his performance against Auburn, but, you know, he had Bama in that game in the end, you know, with a chance to win. You know, he played well in the times he had to. He came in when Tua hurt his ankle against Tennessee, got the win for Bama there. Obviously looked really good against Michigan in the bowl game. So, you know, he had a lot of success and you know, without spring practice, you know, with kind of a weird fall camp, you know, that was always going to kind of be, you know, hold these newcomers back a little bit because they just didn't get that experience. And, you know, it's, you know, you look at this year, it's kind of a free year for everybody. So it's kind of just a, you know, it's not one of these years you're actually wasting because obviously the NCAA has already ruled that, you know, everyone gets an extra year after this. But you're right. You know, Mac Jones, I mean, if he keeps up at this pace, especially, you know, he's not going to see probably a tougher defense until the college football playoff, if even that, than he did with Georgia over the weekend. And, you know, he just tore them up. So, yeah, you know, you got to think if he stays on this pace, he's going to start, you know, climbing the draft boards pretty quick.
Has Alabama changed its prototype of the quarterback it looks for? And since the, I mean, I look at all these different guys, like a Jake Fromm, a Jalen Hurts, a Tua, a Mac Jones, Bryce Young, Jalen Milroe in 2021. We in 2019 was that class where they did take two quarterbacks, Talia Tungavailoa and Paul Tyson. Talia already transferred to Maryland. Or is Nick Saban just like, go get the best guy I can with the understanding that it's probably difficult after the years in which you take a five-star to land the best guy you want, right? 2020, Bama lands a five-star in Bryce Young. Like, good luck getting the top guy on your board in 2021. Yeah. Same thing with the year after Tua in 2018, which you already documented.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, they go out for the best guys and you know, they kind of cater what they do towards their players' strengths. I think that's kind of the big thing with Alabama, and Steve Sarkisian's one of the best at it, you know, getting guys comfortable. You know, obviously, you know, their philosophy is always, you know, that you want to be a run first team, and then that opens up opportunities in the passing game. And so, you know, I don't think they have this kind of set mold of a quarterback they look at. I think they kind of just, they get the guys they think can do what they want them to do. And, you know, they have the players in place to help them do that. And, but it, you know, it has seemed, you know, minus Mac Jones, it has seemed kind of a more dual threat guy they've gone after in recent years. You know, Bryce Young, obviously, I think you could speak more to his arm talent than his running ability, but he does both really well. Then obviously Jalen Milroe in 2021. But then you look at the quarterback commit they had in 2021 prior to Jalen Milroe and Drake May, who's more of the kind of that stand up, that pocket passer. So, yeah, you know, I think they go obviously after the best guys and obviously the guys that, you know, it's not just, you know, from what they can do on the field, but obviously, you know, how they know the game, how they studied the game, you know, how they can be coached and all that kind of stuff when they're looking at that position.
It feels like their quarterbacks just keep getting better and better. All right, Hank South, follow him on Twitter at HankSouth247. Does a great job covering Alabama football, always covering the quarterback flips and helping us document them and how those flips have changed college football and even changed the NFL with, you mentioned, Gardner Minshew. That's going to do it for today's episode of the College Football Daily. If you appreciate what we're doing, love a 5-star rating from you on Apple Podcasts. Leave a review. Got a review this week asking us to preview Wisconsin versus Illinois, which kicks off Friday in the Big Ten. And so on tomorrow's podcast, on Friday's podcast, you can look forward to a snippet of our Illinois podcast's preview for that game. It's the Big Ten's first game in 2020. And we'll also be talking to Steve Lorenz of Michigan 24/7. About Jim Harbaugh and the stakes facing him this season. And I hope I'm not over-promising here. I haven't recorded the interview with Steve Lorenz. So if we don't end up talking to Steve Lorenz, just forget I said this. But we'll talk to y'all Friday.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.